morning. We're going to be talking through that same power. And do you believe that? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's what we're looking at as we come around this topic of mental health and just try to think through and process through together a very tricky conversation, challenging conversation, but important conversation, we view, as we think about God's word and how it applies. And hopefully, you took the challenge last week and you've been praying this prayer of Paul's in Ephesians, that you may know him better, that you might know Jesus in a very more personal and more real way this day. And just really pray that you've been, or I hope that you've been praying this prayer and knowing specifically, Paul says, these three facts, that you might know the past hope of his calling, okay? He has called us in the past, and it produces hope that goes beyond today, a hope that is assured, that we can count on, that you might know the riches of that glorious inheritance, that future inheritance that is promised to all those who put their faith in Jesus. And then we're talking about, and we're focusing on in this series, that in the present day, that you might know his incomparably great power. Wow! For those who believe. Now, I don't know if you like power, but I like power tools. I like dirt bikes. I like anything with power. I like cars with power, everything. So who wouldn't want to walk and live in the resurrection power of Jesus? I think we all would want that. But the reality is, especially when it comes to mental health, you know, it's a real question. If we have that much power, why is there so much suffering? You know, why so much challenge, especially around the idea of mental health? And we're going to try to process through that today. I certainly am no expert at this. One of the resources we're using is this Troubled Minds by Amy Simpson. It's Mental Illness and the Church's Mission is what the book subtitle is. And she, it may surprise you, she says, many people are surprised to learn that mental illness is increasingly common. In fact, mental disorders are the number one cause of disability in North America. And I know there's different stats out there, you know, depending on how you look, because mental illness can be tricky to define, you know, and tricky to put into statistics. But she says, according to the National Institute of Mental Health and other experts, about 1 in 4 adults, a little more than 25% of Americans age 18 and older, you know, suffer from a diagnosable mental disorder in a given year. And so she's saying 1 in 4 in a given year. There's more beyond that, for sure, that are just, you know, short term, and then they aren't necessarily documented that way. And it can be really tricky. But as you think of defining mental health or mental illness, she goes on here to say they define it as the medical conditions that disrupt a person's thinking, feeling, mood, or ability to relate to others and daily functioning. It's often a result in a diminished capacity for coping with the ordinary demands of life. And speaking of students, you know, when they look at younger students, they say about 1 in 5 is the number that they put out here. But that is a chunk of people that are struggling, you know, and just a challenge. How, as we have a church, respond to that? And how do we come alongside that? And this question of why so much suffering, it's not easy to answer because you know, it doesn't feel right, obviously, but it doesn't have to threaten our faith. It's one thing I'd like you to hear. You know, one reason it feels like a threat is because we may have bought into this lie that we're supposed to be happy and healthy all the time. And that's simply not biblical. I hope if you hear one thing today, I hope that you hear this idea that Christians can find hope, they can find meaning, even in this area of mental illness, or any other struggles, honestly, that we might be walking through in life. There really is hope, and there's meaning there based on Christ. So let's pray. Lord God, I just do pray that you would open our hearts to you during this time. I pray that you would you know, educate us even on this idea of mental health and the challenges around that, of understanding it, and the challenges of supporting that, and how do we do that well. So God, I just pray that your Spirit would go before us in that. Just illuminate your word. May it jump off the pages of Scripture right into our lives, right into our hearts, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you for each one here, where each one is a precious, treasured creation of yours. And I just thank you for each one here and just pray this would be a blessing this morning. as we walk through this together. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. That's right. Can we get an amen? I like that. Amen. All right. I like that. Let's keep that up. All right. So we're going to jump right into here, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And if you know the book of Romans, incredible work of Paul, where he's laying out the gospel and the beauty of what we have in the simple gospel, the good news that Jesus came to save and deliver us and to give us life, okay? And Paul says this. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. You hear what he's saying here? He's saying, I consider that our present sufferings, the true reality of our life today, it's not worth comparing to that future hope, that future glory, okay? For the creation awaits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. See, creation is awaiting for our new bodies. We'll hear more about that as we go on here. For the creation was subjected to frustration, right? That's looking back to creation. That's looking back to original sin. It was subjected to creation, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Again, in hope, it's looking forward that the creation itself will be liberated. They'll find freedom from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, I know that's a lot of words and a lot of stuff going on. I think he summarizes it pretty well in this next verse. He says, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So he's talking even to today. Creation, everything around us is groaning like someone that's going through those pains of childbirth. It hurts. It's wrong. It's not right. Like there's problems. There's disease. There's decay. That's a correct reality of the world we live in. But you know what? In the pains of childbirth, what? There's something beautiful that comes out of it. There's a future hope. And he's saying that for creation. But look, he says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions to, for our adoption to sonship and the redemption of our bodies. See what he's saying here? Even we in our bodies, we long for something more. We long for renewal. We long for healing. There's hope something new is coming. Something different is coming. Okay? So, why so much suffering? Well, see, mental illness, it really is common for the same reason everything else is messed up. It's messed up just from original sin. And see, it's messed up just like creation is messed up, just like we struggle every day, and there's all that disease and all that dying and all that decay. It all goes back to original sin. It's just one of the many consequences of sin. Our bodies are broken along with creation, and we long for that healing. We have hope for something better to come. That's what we long for. So this is pretty easy to see on the physical level. Last Sunday, I don't know, I had a lot of energy apparently in the afternoon, and I just decided that I needed to go play basketball. So I went over to the YMCA, you know, and I just decided I was going to go play with those guys. Tim goes over there regularly, and he schools them and shows them how to do it. Well, I'm 45, and I decided I was going to go do it too. And so I went over there, and, you know, there's these young guys in there playing, and they're like, you want to play? I'm like, absolutely, sub me in. You know, I want to do this. So I get in the game, having some fun, talking smack. I actually hit a left-handed shot at one time. Totally, like, crazy cool. That was incredible. I was going wild. But a little bit later, like, we're scrambling and stuff. And they actually started, like, smack-talking me. They're like, hey, Pops, Gramps, how, you know, what are you doing? You move pretty good for an old guy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, getting all in on that. Big head. Then suddenly, I don't know, something happened. I couldn't barely use my thumb all week, but I walked away pretty banged up. But and actually, like a month ago when I went the other time, my knee, man, I messed my knee up. I could barely walk. So it's pretty easy on the physical level to see that we're breaking down, you know, to see that we're struggling. And actually, you know, if I gave you a handshake today, I'm doing a lot of fist pumps, and that's because I really can't shake anyone's hand real good right now. I should probably, you know, you put a cast on a physical injury, you know, and so everyone knows it's hurt, and then 6 weeks later, you're all good, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Well, mental injuries are so different, right? They're just, they're not viewed that same way. I have a little comic strip here. You know, you got this person, feels like they're dying, they're on the floor. Well, we should really get you to the ER, you know, get that cast on. 6 weeks, you'll be all good. Mental illness, you feel like dying. You do realize that there are starving kids in Africa, right? They'd love to have the life, you know, your life. We just seem to treat it differently for some reason. But we fail to recognize that the brain is an organ just like our bodies, just like other things, you know what I mean? And it gets messed up. It's messed up for the same reason everything else is messed up. You know, it's messed up because of sin. And it's subject to all those same things that everything is subject to. That, you know, it's nothing different that way. And we seem to forget that. And it's obviously harder to see and harder to diagnose what is going on in someone's brain. It's incredibly complex. And we can easily lose our empathy really quick. You know, we have, honestly, as a church, we haven't done this well in the past in that way. So just at the beginning, why so much suffering? Well, it's just one of the many things that has been impacted by sin. It's been wrecked by sin. But if we move on, has God abandoned us in our suffering? This is beautiful. See, again, the promises of God are incredible. No. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, even trouble in our heads, you know, even the mind stuff, shall trouble, shall hardship, you know, where things are pressing in, you feel like the walls are collapsing in on you. No, so persecution, shall famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. You see the progression of intensity, moving all the way right to death. No, he says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, through Jesus who loves us. He says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future. See, all these extremes, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen for that? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that incredible truth? See, we are never alone. You're absolutely never alone. I don't care if you're struggling with mental illness. I don't care if you're struggling with something else. We are not alone. God is with us in that. And he's affirming here, there's nothing in all his creation that goes against his purposes for us as believers. And there's absolute a certainty of our salvation and our place being placed in his hands. Once we choose to follow him and put our faith in him, absolutely secure. But see, the reality is it doesn't always feel that way. It's hard for us to believe that at times. And the beautiful thing, I said this before, he knows us intimately, and yet he still loves us. That's incredible to think about that, to process that. You know, when I, as a pastor, I probably most often get approached by people struggling with mental health where it impacts their belief that they're a follower of Christ, that they ever did choose to follow Jesus. And I'm telling you, Satan is the father of lies, right? He loves to get you to doubt things. From the very beginning, what did he say to Adam and Eve? He said, did God really say? You know, he tries to get you to believe a lie. And so in those times, that's where I just try to gently encourage and be like, no, you know, it's verses like these. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, there is nothing. I don't care where you've been, what you've been up to, what you've done, what your mind, the games your mind is playing with you. No. There is nothing that separates you from the love of God. You can be absolutely secure in him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's something we wanted you to hear, that you're not alone. You know, I did a funeral yesterday. I had the honor of being a part of that. And it's always a challenging time, obviously. But one of the verses I shared was that John 10:11, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Do you know the good shepherd? Do you know the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand? The hired hand abandons the sheep when there's trouble. See, God, Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays his life down for you. He does not abandon us in our time of need. We absolutely are never alone. One of the thing I'd like you to see here is just this idea that so much of the suffering that we experience is never talked about, and it's underground. You don't see it. And Amy talks about that in her book here. She says this: as we're busy enthusiastically delivering meals to suffering people, we are largely ignoring the afflictions of 25% of the population. And that's about equal, this 25% of the population that are struggling with mental health, it's about equal to the total percentage of people diagnosed with cancer each year, those living with heart disease, those infected with HIV and AIDS, and those afflicted with diabetes combined. Okay? That's a huge group of people that maybe we're totally missing. No wonder several people I've talked with called mental illness the no casserole illness. You know, there's no food being delivered. There's no support being provided there. In contrast to the care that we provide for others, we have very little patience with those whose disease happened to attack their mind, and many people suffer in silence. You know, if there's one thing that we wanted you to hear, is that you're not alone. You're not alone in this. God is with you, and we want as a community of church to be with you as well. Now, I was talking to my wife, and she always helps me get this more practical. So we thought we'd ask everyone to stand. We're going to do a little exercise just to see people impacted by mental health. And I know everyone's like, what's he got? All I'm going to do is have you sit. So it's really easy. So would you mind standing right now? And we're just going to talk through this idea of just try to see, okay, who either you personally or someone that you're connected with has been impacted by mental health. It's just try to understand the group underneath a little bit. You know what I mean? And maybe the people that that we don't always think of or don't always recognize. So I'll say a few different categories, and you can just sit as your impact, as you, either you personally or someone that you know, you know, family or friend or whatever, is impacted by these areas. So the first one, anxiety and panic attacks. It takes a lot of people. Bipolar disorder or mood disorders like depression, eating disorders, schizophrenia, psychotic disorders, ADHD, dementia. So everyone, almost everyone is up, is sitting down, but you know, that's just a few of the list of things that are diagnosed. There's a manual that you can buy on Amazon. It's 947 pages long, if I saw that right in the table of contents, that tries to define all these different areas of mental health and all the different challenges. That it is a real challenge to understand, but you have to understand that God has not abandoned us. And what's crazy, this is actually crazy, and this is maybe hard to hear, but suffering, whether it's mental health or whether it's other areas of suffering, it should point us to Christ and to Christian community. Like, we absolutely need each other. This is what Paul says. He says, and we know that all these things, and all things, even including these challenges that we face in our minds, in all those things, God works for the good of those who love him, who those have been called to his purpose. Now again, this does not sound right. He's not saying that the things themselves are good. The things may not be good. Like, we experience many things in this world that are physically and emotionally, spiritually, mentally, they're not good, all right? And that's a result of sin. That's a result of the world that we're living in right now that is overseen by Satan. You know, he's the one in charge right now, running wild and doing this. That is not, he's not saying they're good things necessarily, but it's crazy how God somehow, he brings all that together and he harmonizes them for the believer's ultimate good, because his goal is to bring them to perfection. We'll never get there, but that's the hope. The hope is, and ultimately we will get there with our new bodies. It's crazy how God works, but I need you to hear this. Like, this is where we need each other. This is where we need help believing this. We need help. We need to help each other believe. There's actually hope. There's actually meaning, even in this area of mental illness and any other hardships that we're walking through. Again, Amy talks about the role of the church. You know, the church should be leading the way in shining God's light, in shining his life into those, no matter what the struggle is. And I think in some ways, in many ways, it sort of takes us back to our prayer of trying to know, what's it look like to live in the resurrection power? To live with the same power, Jesus' resurrection power living in us. And I think that's where I'm seeing the connection, that I think it actually is. When we believe, when we choose to believe amidst the storm, amidst the struggle, when we choose to believe that, we're actually showing Jesus' resurrection power living in us, coming out in the reality of the struggle, in the reality of the challenge, the reality of the heartache. And that's where, as a body, we need each other, because that's not easy. That's not easy at all. It's a deep challenge. It's a deep challenge. So instead of letting the difficulty shake our faith, we actually keep our hope and keep our eyes focused on Christ and allow it to reinforce our faith, right? And reinforce our hope for something new, for something to come, for our new bodies and our new brains, and supporting each other along the way. One thing that we really wanted to communicate during this time was that we want to resource help. We want to do what we can as pastors and as a church, and we want to resource. We resource the help of all kinds of people around us anytime, but we're trying to empower you guys. And if you think of mental health, some things that anyone can do is reaching out and letting someone know that you're available, number one, okay? Number two, offer to help them access mental health services. Like, we see a role for medication in mental health. We don't have a problem saying that. My brother is an anesthesiologist, and he tells me the real trick in anesthesia is not putting him to sleep, but getting him to wake up at the right time. And some doctors are good at it, and others aren't. You know what I mean? And so when it comes to mental health, there's some doctors that are good at it, and there's some doctors that aren't. And it's hard to process and go through the work it takes to actually get to the right person. That kind of thing. So offer help with that. Treat them with respect. Don't define them by their diagnosis, and learn to share the facts about mental health. So we want to try to be as practical as we can as we're talking about, like, what does this look like and how can we support each other? Kelsey's going to come up and talk a little bit about counseling services. Because again, we're not professional counselors as pastors. We do what we can, but we resource and we talk to others and invite counselors in as well. It's another key role to helping us grow in our through mental health and through mental illness.
Yeah. Good morning. my experience with counseling started when I turned 30, and for some reason that was a pivotal point in my life. The way I used to be able to manage life and the way I used to be able to handle things, God in His mercy no longer let that work for me, and I just noticed that I was starting to see that I was being hypercritical towards myself and towards others, and I had a lot of unforgiveness that I had to work through, and it just was a really dark and confusing time for me, and I didn't know which way was up, and I didn't know where to go, and I read in Proverbs that a wise person seeks counsel, and I want to be wise, so I sought counsel, and I started going to Dr. Freeman down in Warminster. And she was able to access parts of my heart and my mind that I just really couldn't see. I was just very blind to it. And the parts that were dark or confusing, she was able to shine a light on and help me get new tools on how to navigate and deal with life. And she just spoke a lot of life into me, and she saw how God has been faithful in the past and through different traumas or different struggles, she was able to point out how Jesus has been really faithful and kind to me and how He's continuing to be faithful and kind to me even now. So that's my PSA for counseling. If you're struggling, don't struggle alone.
Amen to that. Yeah, let's thank Kelsey for sharing. We have a resource that we're going to hand out on your way out. And again, as pastors, we refer people to a lot of to different people for help in these areas. And we want everyone to take one of these resources on your way out, some of the counselors that we tend to refer to. And the idea, it's not just for you if you're personally struggling. No, it's for everyone in this church body, because we can come alongside those near us, you know, and support them in their challenges and in their time of need. And we want to be able to do that. Just another example, as a family, we've struggled some with panic attacks. And There's a role as well for prayer and for the word and for worship. We're gonna end by singing a song. There's a role for all these things. I see, you ever hear the joke where you're out struggling in the water and you're drowning and you prayed for help and someone comes along and no, you're waiting for God to come help you, and then the boat comes along, you're waiting for God, and then the next thing comes along, you're waiting for God, and God, you get to heaven, and what's he say? Well, I sent you the boat, I sent you I sent you the raft, I sent you all those things, but you didn't take them. You know, we really view that there's all different types of things that you come along and you support each other and can help in this process. But in the idea of panic attacks, one of the verses we have on a 3x5 card that we have near our bed is Isaiah 43. Verses 1 through 4. And it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So see, once you get the breathing slowed down, and once you can get to the point where you can walk through something like this, then you add a verse to that. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." See, we are His. We are His. And we're all a unique, special creation, but we are all also scarred by sin and struggling in this life, and we need each other. We absolutely need each other to help believe, to help believe. As I said, I'm going to call the ushers forward. We're going to end with the offering and a song here. It's called "Raise a Hallelujah." It's from Bethel Music Family, and this song has a story to it that I think just really applies to what we're looking at here today. And the church, this last December, they had a young boy that was in the ICU, and the worship pastor, he got this text message that said they didn't think this young boy was going to make the night. And he shared it was like this giant of unbelief that stood right in front of him, this wall of unbelief, or this giant of unbelief. And he said it was right in the midst of that that God gave him this song or this melody. And he says, "I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief." You know, in that, and that church and that church family, they saw God do an amazing thing in that young boy's life, and he lived. And it's awesome. They're celebrating that. And this song has become sort of their mantra of praise. You know, maybe you've heard it out and about a little bit, but it's just awesome story. But what about for you? What about that giant of unbelief? What stands in front of you right this moment? And I think Jesus wants to speak into your life. And so I pray that. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that you would give us a spirit of belief. Lord, that you would help us see beyond our present situation, beyond our struggle, whether it's physical, Lord, whether it's in our family, whether it's loss of some sort, Lord, that way. Lord, if it's in our brains, whether it's anxiety or depression or any of these things, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us the heart to believe, give us the spirit to believe. That you would speak that over each person here today, Lord Jesus, that you would just go before us in that, that you would slay these giants in our lives, Lord Jesus, that we would be new people, not in our own strength, because of your spirit that's working in us. It's not us, Lord, it's you. We ask for your resurrection power for life today. Lord, we'll cry out tomorrow, but we just ask for today. Lord, that you would just go before us in these things. As a church, we just thank you for your provision, God. But we need to continue to pray that too as we go forward. Lord, we love you and we need you. May we cling to you this day. May we believe. May we believe. In your name we pray. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He's alive. Yes. And that resurrection power lives in us and empowers us to go about our day today. We want to make sure you get one of these resources on the way out. Make sure you get one of those. Okay, absolutely. Keep praying God's prayer that we might know him better. That we might know those things, the hope and the riches and incredibly his incomparably great power towards those who believe. Next week, I'm excited. We're going to be talking about our position in Christ versus our experience. okay, and keeping our eyes focused on our position. So, Lord God, I pray that you go before us today. I pray that we would keep singing for you, even in the presence of our enemies, Lord, in the presence of our unbelief. I pray that we might continue to believe as we go forward this week. In your name we pray. Amen.